to help other business owners and working mums, you know, going through the same struggles in business and life that I was going through. You know, I wanted to share that, you know, the message about, you know, stress and unresolved stress and how bad it is for you. And if you're anything like me, you don't even realize that you are so stressed out, and highlight that. Let people know that you're not alone, that this is real, and, you know, what you're experiencing is, you're not crazy, or, you know, it is something real and you need to address it. And you're the only one that can address it ultimately at the end of the day. But I'm all jumping all over the place. But basically, the message I want to say here is, off the back of really dark moments, marriage breakdowns, major health issues, the loss of loved ones, come some amazing things. There is that silver lining, and you can't give up. You've got to keep searching for that silver lining, and it will appear when you need it the most. Welcome to the Property Management Podcast with That Property Mum. I'm your host, Kylie Walker. I'm a former television sports journalist and mother of four, turned co-owner of a million-dollar real estate brand. Each week, I teach women in the property management industry all the best tips to help you balance your career and family, grow your dream business, master your fear, boost your confidence, and conquer your mindset. Ready to get started? Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Property Management Podcast. I'm Bella Ellen, one of the content creators inside That Property Mum and Dumpy Socials. I've been working with Kylie for 3 years now, and I've taken over her microphone to flip the script and turn the spotlight on her. In this episode, I'm going to do a deep dive with Kylie on how she got started in property management, how she has integrated running a business and raising 4 kids, and how she has overcome some major life challenges to not only survive, but thrive in spite of what she goes through. I love working with Kylie, and I personally have learned so much about business since stepping in to support her vision to create the That Property Mum platform. We haven't really planned out what we're going to say or talk about on this episode, but we thought it'd be a good chance for anyone listening to hear more about you, Kylie. So let's turn the spotlight on you and get started.
Oh my goodness, I am so nervous about what you're going to ask me here, and I'm hoping I can not get too emotional and hold it together. But yeah, let's dive in. And actually, this episode, or this idea, was inspired by Ashley Goodchild. She just did exactly the same thing on her podcast. And I really loved hearing Ashley's story and how she got started. And, you know, just it really made me understand more what makes her tick and the sort of person she is. So now we're going to do a very similar thing. So thanks, Ash, for the inspo.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. So let's get started. So how did you get started in property management?
Well, it was not something that I ever planned on doing. I wasn't a massive property lover. I had purchased and sold a few properties, but it definitely wasn't something that I saw myself in. I was a TV sports journalist at the time. I had 4 kids under 5, and we had moved from the Gold Coast to Ipswich, and my husband at the time, he was selling real estate, and people kept asking him, could you manage my properties? And it was all getting a little bit too much for him. So we sort of sat down and decided that this could be a great business opportunity. I've always been a little bit entrepreneurial. And even though I was a television sports journalist, I always had little side businesses. I had a copywriting business on the side. I had a little PR business on the side. So it kind of was a really natural fit, I think, for me to step into business and start running a rent roll. And how hard could it be, right? It was really difficult, and I had to have a very fast, steep learning curve. And thank God iPads were around back when I started, because my children spent lots of time in cars on iPads or in the office as I drove around to, you know, open up properties and, you know, inspect properties and all that sort of stuff. So it was, yeah, just something, an opportunity kind of presented itself. And I dove headfirst in, and now it's sort of 15 years later. So,
yeah, wow. That's awesome. And that's, yeah, such a big thing to do while having 4 kids under, what were they, under 4?
5.
Under 5,
yeah.
Yeah. What was your business like in those early days and how did you juggle it all with young kids?
If you are anything like me, you think you know your rent roll numbers. Well, I thought I did until I had a rent roll health check and I was quite literally shocked. The money I was leaving on the table was astounding. And this is not something that I'm proud to admit. There were missed management fees, let fees, advertising, and lease renewal fees not being charged, and properties even without bonds. And all of this was happening despite monthly audits being conducted in my business. So how did I uncover all these gaps in my valuable income? Well, I had a rent roll due diligence from my good friend Tazi, aka the Rent Roll Queen and founder of the Tazi Way, a specialist in rent roll due diligence, business valuation, and management rights. The Tazi Way is the innovative force driving the real estate industry. With 25 years of business and real estate acumen, they find gaps and risks in your agency to find undiscovered value. If you'd like to book your business in for a rent roll due diligence, head to the link in the show notes and mention That Property Mum for a 10% discount. I'm going to be completely transparent and honest. It was actually very chaotic in those early days. I had no idea what I was doing. Not only did I not know any of the property management legislation or rules, I also didn't really know anything about running a business either. And like I said, my children were really busy. There was dancing, there was football, there was cricket, there was always after school activities. So let me start with saying that I was that parent that was always late to school pickup, always late, last one in school drop off. I never met my kids at the classrooms. It was like quickly throw them out the car, get them back in the car, zoom off. I got that many speeding tickets in school zones, trying to get them to all their afternoon activities. And, you know, I'd be either sitting in my car working or I'd be fitting in my exercise, going for a run, or I'd always randomly would carry a skipping rope in my car. And if I was waiting for them to finish football training or cricket training, I would be out in the car park skipping. I must have looked a little bit strange, but it honestly was the only way that I could fit in my exercise, which has always been a really important part of my life and my mental health. Exercise is that stable for me. So my kids were like literally dragged along for the ride. And, you know, there was probably a lot more tuck shops ordered than I would have probably liked, and probably a few birthday parties and, you know, different things that I miss notes in the school bags over. But they survived. They're all adults now. So they've made it through those years. But business for me, I literally sat in every seat in the business. At one stage, I was the receptionist, I was the marketing person, I was the contracts administrator, which was a challenge for me because I am attention to detail deficit. So I made lots of mistakes. I was the property manager, I was the trust accountant. And yeah, I actually don't really know how I survived those early first couple of years in the business. But, you know, I think one of the things that I do well is I am a doer. I just get in and I do things. I take action. And, you know, as much as I'm a perfectionist, I like to be a perfectionist, and that can make me procrastinate on things at times. When I really need to just take action and there's things that need to be done, I'm the first one that's there, you know, putting up my hand, helping and just getting shit done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably how I survived. I just got shit done.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you definitely have worn and still do wear many hats. So yeah, we give it to you for that. What is your best advice you would give anyone listening that is thinking about starting a business with a young family?
I think if I had my time again and I could go back, I would have liked to have probably had a bit more of a plan in place when I started. And I think it's really important to know where that first bit of business is going to come from, how you're going to start. And I know I already had that because we had sales referrals coming in. That was how we sort of started our rent roll. Got the first sort of 20 managements in was just through properties we'd sold, and then we just retained the management. I think, but having, if you're starting out from scratch, having that vision or plan, where are you going to get that first bit of business? How are you going to start making some money in the early days? What sort of marketing are you going to do? Are you going to do networking? Are you going to invest online? you know, having those sort of foundations, I guess, laid will make you feel more confident to take that dive into starting your own business. On that note, though, don't let fear of not knowing what you're doing hold you back either. Like I said, sometimes just taking that action, that first step, letting go of the fear, or what's that saying? When, you know, the more you fear something, the more you should actually lean into it, the more that's where you need to go and what you need to do. So yeah, definitely don't let fear hold you back. And I guess, you know, if I could, again, have my time back again, I wish I had some of my processes laid out. You know, when a new management came in, what did that process look like? Where was I going? You know, having some documents printed. I mean, and back when I started, it was all handwritten. We didn't have any of this digital and tech stuff. So it was all lots of printing off bits and pieces. And for me as well, with my brain the way it is, you know, having lots of moving pieces, I don't work well with. So I really need a checklist to go off. Otherwise, stuff is lost, things are forgotten. And then that just creates more chaos, I guess, in your head. So, yeah, I would say have a bit of a plan. It doesn't have to be a concrete plan, but a bit of a one-page plan. Don't fear starting. Don't let that hold you back. And have a few of the basic processes in place would be my three best bits of advice if you're thinking about getting started.
Awesome. That's some great advice there. So your business has had some great success, but you've also had some major life issues to overcome along the way as well. Like many of us do, life isn't always smooth sailing and we all have hiccups along the way. Can you share some of those challenges and how you've overcome them?
If you're ready to be a super organized, focused and productive property manager, buckle up, because Colmio is about to revolutionize the way that you work. Colmio is the driving force behind property management excellence in residential real estate. Now picture this, a comprehensive end-to-end system designed to be the beating heart of your property management tasks, manage your properties, owners and tenants, and handle payments, inspections, and even marketing listings without leaving the platform. Colmio is designed to be an all-in-one solution to all your property management needs. And here's the game changer. Colmio isn't just software. It's been awarded the most innovative prop tech scale up in 2023. Yes, you heard it right. Colmio has been recognized for their groundbreaking approach to property management software. How good is that? So property managers, whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, dive into the future of property management with Colmio. You can book in a demo with the team today and go in their weekly draw for a Prezi gift card worth $100. All you need to do is to head to the link colmio.com/thatpropertymum, and Colmio is Colmeo. I can, Bella. That's automatically made me feel really uncomfortable diving into some of that. And you're right, like we all do have major life issues and challenges at different times. You know, it would be so unrealistic to think that we're going to skate through life and not face heartache, not face loss. It is all coming for us at some stage, some sooner, some later than others. And, you know, I guess for me, our business was really successful. We grew 400 managements in 4 years, despite, like I said, it was chaotic, but we did have great success. And that was also off the back of lots and lots of hard work. You know, I famously share this story where people who ever worked with us, my ex-husband and I, we would sit up at nighttime. So we would work all day. We would, you know, do the kids' activities in the afternoon, come home at nighttime, get them in dinner, bath, bed. And then we would sit up and we would write out letters to, you know, databases, be writing letters, handwriting them, signing them, licking envelopes, licking postage stamps. And we'd do 100 every single night. And that was probably for the first 2 years. We just were consistently doing that. We drank a lot of wine while we did it as well. We did put in a lot of hard work and a lot of long hours to build the success that we had. Certainly didn't come easy, that's for sure. And I don't think anyone in business who says it comes easy, take my hat off to you and please share your secrets with me, because that certainly has never been my experience. But I think, you know, for me, nobody really taught me or I didn't really learn how the way that I went about my life was probably not right, in terms of I operated with really high stress all the time, probably a lot of anxiety built in there as well. But my baseline stress levels were super high. So I did, you know, and the longer that I operated in that escalated stress levels, and I didn't think anything was wrong with that, because I, you know, from childhood, I have always had an overactive nervous system. I was very hypervigilant as a child. And that has kind of progressed through my, you know, obviously my teenage years into my adult. And every job I've ever had, I'm always that overachiever. I'm always putting in the extra hours, working long hours, you know, wanting more from myself. I was never enough. What I was doing was never enough. I had to constantly keep pushing and proving myself. And that, you know, and my first job in media was as a female sports reporter. Back then, there wasn't any female sports reporters. And so, you know, that in itself, like, you know, why would I be a sports reporter? Why couldn't I just be, you know, a court reporter or something else? Why did I have to prove myself in that very male dominant area? And, you know, I felt like I had to work harder than all the boy club to be seen and to be heard and, you know, to get the same respect and rewards in the career. I always had to push harder than everybody else. And then, of course, when I started my business, that mentality followed into my business life. But the consequences of operating like that, you can only operate like that for so long, as I learnt the hard way. And you've witnessed, Bella, some of the health issues. You've been along for that journey as well. It eventually catches up with you. And for me, it started with, I guess, well, it affected my marriage, and that's partly, you know, my unresolved stress and my constant switched on, never being able to switch off. It's exhausting. And, you know, that led to issues in my marriage as well. And that was all part of, I guess, what led to my marriage breakdown. It was also, you know, what led to me having a heart condition. And leading up to the heart condition, though, I had adrenal fatigue. I was constantly getting really weird viruses and illnesses. My immune system was just so weakened. And I mean, like right now, I haven't had a cold, a sickness or a flu since I think I had COVID in 2021. I just do not get sick anymore. And that's largely because I'm much better at regulating my nervous system. But yeah, that nervous system overkill caused me to have atrial fibrillation, which is a heart arrhythmia. That's normally reserved for people way older than me or way more unhealthy than me. And for 2 years, I was in and out of hospitals. And eventually, I ended up having an ablation, which they basically go in and burn parts of your heart valves. And so, yeah, that for me was rock bottom moments. But off the back of that rock bottom moment, I've got a fly hanging around my head here. Off the back of those rock bottom moments, though, comes some amazing things in life. And that's, you know, when I was laying in my hospital bed, that's how I come up with the idea for That Property Mum, which was initially just a blog to help other business owners and working mums, you know, going through the same struggles in business and life that I was going through. You know, I wanted to share that, you know, the message about, you know, stress and unresolved stress and how bad it is for you. And if you're anything like me, you don't even realize that you are so stressed out, and highlight that. Let people know that you're not alone, that this is real. And, you know, what you're experiencing is, you're not crazy, or, you know, it is something real and you need to address it. And you're the only one that can address it ultimately at the end of the day. But I'm all jumping all over the place. But basically the message I want to say here is, off the back of really dark moments, marriage breakdowns, major health issues, the loss of loved ones, come some amazing things. There is that silver lining, and you can't give up. You've got to keep searching for that silver lining, and it will appear when you need it the most.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a beautiful message. And I think there'll be a lot of listeners out there that will take lots of motivation from that. You know, you have proved that you've hit rock bottom, but you kept pushing through and you're just doing so amazing. And I've watched, you know, part of some of the things that you've gone through. And even I just look up to you and I think how like amazing you are. And like it motivates me to, you know, want to do more with my life as well and like push and grow businesses. And yeah, and just like if something does push me back, I can keep going forward. Like it's not the end of the world. And yeah, I just think, yeah, it's a really great message. And yeah, a lot of listeners would really take motivation from that. Touching off that, what are some tools and practices that you use to overcome the challenging times that you could share with anyone that might be going through similar struggles right now?
There's been so much talk of stress, overwhelm, and burnout in property management lately. Do you want to know how I overcame all of that? Yes, I hit rock bottom multiple times, but I got myself a virtual assistant. Actually, not just one, but three. But I didn't just get any VA, I got a PMVA. What are they? Well, they are the most well-trained in the business. And not only that, you also have a backup VA. So that essentially, your business is never without admin support ever again. And my health, time, and business has never looked back. Your PMVA can take care of tasks like rent arrears, lease preparation and renewals, maintenance follow-up, routine inspection bookings, data entry, audits, prospecting, inbox management, and so much more. And the best part of implementing a PMVA in my business was that it freed up my time and my team's time to take care of important things like customer service. What makes me feel so safe is that PMVA is owned by Tiffany Botel, both here and in the Philippines, making my data secure and giving me more control over the VA arrangement. So head to the link in the show notes to book in your discovery call with Lady Boss Tiff. In the early days, especially when I was back going through my marriage breakdown, really did crush me. And, you know, I got at that age, that's the last thing you expect to happen. That's not the place you ever want to be in life when you're really a family oriented person. So the first thing I did was I got some counseling and got some therapy. And that was really valuable for me because I am a bit of a people pleaser and I would always put everybody else before myself. And I had to relearn a lot of things about life and myself, and especially about myself. I had to really go back and do a deep dive, and therapy was fantastic for me. And I did all sorts of different therapy. I did spiritual healing. I did, you know, sort of relationship counselors. I saw all different types of people, and that really helped me. And I know therapy is not for everybody, but I can totally, attest to the value of it for me. Then, you know, through the therapy, they gave me some other tools. Exercise has always been my go-to when I'm feeling anxious or feeling stressed. I'm always exercising in some form, whether it's gym, I used to run every single day. My knees are bad these days, so I prefer to do softer stuff. I go to the gym. I'll do yoga or I do Pilates, or even just going for a walk. I love that. That's one of the tools that is my everyday tool. I also love meditating. For a nervous system like mine, meditation is amazing. And I'm, you know, obviously an overthinker, and I'm always in my head thinking new ideas, which, you know, is to my detriment sometimes because it's hard. I think I overwhelm a lot of people when I just start dumping my ideas out on other people. So I have added meditation and then journaling, which allows me to get my thoughts clear before I just go and dump them on somebody else. And it's also been a great strategy for me in terms of being able to write about my feelings. I'm not a good communicator of my feelings, but my family or my childhood, we didn't talk a lot. It was just my mum and dad and my sister. My dad worked away a lot, and my mum had a lot of mental health issues through my childhood. And she just wasn't a very big talker. So my sister and I had to kind of work out a lot of stuff on our own. So yeah, but we didn't talk about our feelings. So journaling has been a great practice for me in terms of being able to really understand, you know, sometimes you just feel a bit off and you can't work out what it is. And if I journal it, it's straight away, I find out exactly, that's what you're feeling and this is why. And, you know, it allows me then to not project what I'm feeling onto other people as well, which has helped, I guess, keep me calmer as well. What else? What other tools do I use? Obviously, just, you know, looking after myself, eating well, sleeping well. I hadn't been a great sleeper, but now I value my sleep and I try to have a really good practice around getting myself ready for bedtime. Now, I've just gone a month actually without alcohol, and I am actually loving the benefits that I'm experiencing at the moment from no alcohol. After my mum passed away, I didn't want to numb myself and not feel the feelings that I needed to feel. I knew I needed to feel with her passing, even though I'd been expecting it for 5 years, nothing had prepared me for it. And there was a lot to unpack and process, not only, you know, being there watching her slowly die over 12 days, although she had been dying for 5 years, but the last 12 days watching her deteriorate and then being there with her and holding her hand in the final moments. There was a lot to unpack. So I made a decision not to consume alcohol. I have cried a lot. I'm not going to lie. I still cry a lot. I knew I wouldn't get 3 minutes without crying.
You're doing so well. Very well.
But, you know, it has helped me heal, I think, a lot quicker than numbing myself with alcohol. And then I think, I'm just trying to think, what other tools do I use? Can you think of any other tools that I use? I do have a big bag of tools because, you know, I guess I do have a lot of trauma and things, baggage, childhood baggage, like many of us. And sometimes, you know, when challenging things come, like I've just had a few work issues come up. I had 3 people leave early January, and then I've had a couple of other little hiccups with people in my team. And for me, I go back to, there's something wrong with me. I've done something wrong. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not a leader. Nobody wants to work with me. And when I get into that funk or that spiral of negative self-talk, it's really hard sometimes to come out of it. So you definitely need to have journaling, meditation, grounding myself, you know, looking after myself, really bring me back from that spiral and allow me to refocus on all the positive things that I have in my life and make me keep moving towards my mission of helping other working mums and business owners overcome some of the hurdles that I have been through. So whatever the tools look like for you when you spiral and challenging things happen, find something to help you, you know, get your sparkle back and get your sanity and your mojo back.
Beautiful. Now, I know you have kind of touched base with this throughout this podcast, but you do have multiple businesses running. So how do you manage that?
Right now, it feels like everything is, I'm dropping balls all over the place. And that's great because there's been a lot of success, a lot of new businesses coming in. And I guess I'm still overcoming the grieving process, the knock from, you know, the confidence knock or from some of the team issues that I've had. And if I'm completely honest, I'm still struggling sometimes to feel like I deserve that success. And I have a lot of imposter syndrome as well. So, you know, when all this new business is coming in, I'm thinking, you know, do I really know what I'm doing here? Can I really help this person? Am I the person to be doing this? Which I know obviously is the imposter syndrome. So I guess sometimes it's hard to juggle it all. And I don't really know what I do to keep it going. I guess I use a full focus planner. I try every day just to have 3 major things that are going to get me in the right direction towards my big goals. And I tick off those 3 things, and then anything else I get done after that is a bonus. but I'm very, very intentional about the top three things that I have on my to-do list every single day. And I think, you know, some days things go smoothly and I'm very productive, and other days the shit hits the fan and I'm just reacting to whatever's coming in. And, you know, I would love to say that I operate, you know, this amazing well-oiled machines all the time, but the reality is I don't. Sometimes I do, and then a lot of the time I don't. I'm going through a growth period with two businesses at the moment, which makes things challenging, which, you know, just adds another dimension. And then the other business, I am rebuilding a team. So again, anyone listening who has, you know, rebuilt teams will know the challenges that come with that. And I'm finding in property management right now, like that Done For You Socials and that Property Mum aside, property management, the expectations are just getting unbelievably hard for business owners and property managers at the moment. It just seems like you can't keep anyone happy. You know, people are just wanting the negotiation of, you know, getting people to meet in the middle is getting harder and harder. And I don't know what the answer is. And that's certainly something I've got penciled on my to-do list, along with how do we solve the recruitment problems. The other issue is how do we solve this big gap at the moment between what property owners want and what tenants want? How do we get people back to coming in and finding that middle ground? Because I know personally, I'm feeling a bit deflated and a bit hopeless at times about that nothing I can do is good enough, or I can't fix these situations anymore. And I don't know what the answers are, but I'm going to work on it.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for letting me interview you. I've personally got a lot out of this, and I'm sure anyone listening would have as well.
Thank you, Bella. You are amazing. I am so grateful to have you as part of the team and your growth journey this year, while I have been out of action at times, has been phenomenal. I'm absolutely loving watching you grow and thrive as well. So well done you. Thank you so much for having my back.
Thank you, Kylie.
One thing I dread doing is chasing up rent arrears and debt collection. It takes up valuable time and it can often lead to conflict. But it is a necessary evil when you are running a property management business. But there is an easier way to make sure your tenant's rent is paid on time and in advance, and it's called RentPay. RentPay is a secure and simple to use payment platform that saves agents time and money with fast, accurate receipting while making life better for renters. To top it all off, you'll never have to worry about dishonor fees or unknown deposits again. How good is that? Cleared funds are deposited straight into your bank account in a single daily payment with accurate receipting and reference numbers auto-assigned, and it's fully compatible with all trust accounting systems. It's a super flexible payment option for tenants who can pay rent in multiple ways, including direct debit, credit card, or instantly pay with payer ID. Fees are minimal, and RentPay even helps with the rent arrears process by automating reminders to renters when payments are due or missed. If you are currently paying large bank fees, struggling with constant dishonors because the funds aren't cleared when their funds land in your trust, or wasting time chasing up unknown payments, I encourage you to book in a free demo with RentPay and give yourself and your renters an easier way to pay rent. There's been so much talk of stress, overwhelm, and burnout in property management lately. Do you want to know how I overcame all of that? Yes, I hit rock bottom multiple times, but I got myself a virtual assistant. Actually, not just one, but three. But I didn't just get any VA. I got a PMVA. What are they? Well, they are the most well-trained in the business. And not only that, you also have a backup VA. So that essentially your business is never without admin support ever again. And my health, time, and business has never looked back. Your PMVA can take care of tasks like rent arrears, lease preparation and renewals, maintenance follow-up, routine inspection bookings, data entry, audits, prospecting, inbox management, and so much more. And the best part of implementing a PMVA in my business was that it freed up my time and my team's time to take care of important things like customer service. What makes me feel so safe is that PMVA is owned by Tiffany Botel, both here and in the Philippines, making my data secure and giving me more control over the VA arrangement. So head to the link in the show notes to book in your discovery call with Lady Boss Tiff. Can I ask you a quick favor before you leave this episode? Now, we all know how important reviews are for businesses these days, and mine is no different. If you could spare just a minute to follow, rate, and review this podcast, it would mean a lot to me. In fact, what would get me super excited is if you share this podcast with someone in the industry who you think might need to hear some of the episodes right now. And if you'd like to find out more about working with me or any of the products I have to help you start, grow, or scale your property management business, head to my website, thatpropertymum.com.au, or check out the links in the show notes.